بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so we are in the middle of our discussion of إهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And as we spoke about yesterday, in the previous verse, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, the person makes a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he'll worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek help only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once he makes that covenant that he's going to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next thing obviously that he wants to know is the way in which he's supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once he makes that commitment, the next question is, how is he supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And of course the only one, as we said, who knows about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be worshipped is Allah Himself. So the next thing that we ask for after making that covenant and saying we'll seek help in no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance. And inshallah, if we receive that guidance, as we said, we'll receive the greatest blessing in this dunya that will stay with us both in this life and in the hereafter when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Maliki Yawm al-Din. And if we have this blessing both in this life and in the hereafter, actually no harm will be able to come to us from anyone or from anything. Harm in the Sharia sense, in the sense of what actually harms the individual and his soul. We're not talking about maybe losing things of the material world, but for the real believer, for the one who has real guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not equivalent to harm. So as long as when the person is on that straight path, inshallah, he will not be harmed, especially by those people who wish to follow any other path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَذُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ظَلَّ إِذَا احْتَدَيْتُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُوكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. All you who believe, take care of your own selves. And we are responsible just for our own selves. And if we are following the right guidance, then no hurt can come to us from those who wish to err. And all of us will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform us all about what we used to do. And the guidance that we're seeking, of course, is the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the only true guidance, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 120. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that verse, قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Say that verily the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the guidance. That is the guidance. And it is the real guidance. And as we spoke about yesterday, what we mean when we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم is the more comprehensive understanding of hidayah, of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look at some of the translations in English, and I just took the five of the more basic translations here, we'll see that the translations that they have opted for, and again I'm not trying to critique the translations or claim that I know a better way to translate it, but you'll see clearly in the translations there's something missing. For example, Pikthal translates اهدنا الصراط المستقيم as show us the straight path. Show us the straight path. Abdullah Yusuf Ali, show us the straight way. There's a big difference between the two. Show us the straight way. Khan and Al-Hilali, guide us to the straight way. Sahih International, guide us to the straight path. And Muhammad Muhar Ali, guide us to the straight way. So all of these translations, the implication that they're giving is that we are simply asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us what is the straight path. But as in the example that I gave with respect to knowing how to get to Denver, and what we're asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not asking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just shows us Highway 36 and says this is the path. When we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, to be shown the path and to see the path, that's only a small part of the guidance that we're actually asking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not just asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the path, but we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us along the path and to help us along the path and give us the love for that path, the desire for that path, the will for that path, the understanding of how important that path is, and the willingness to put that path above everything else. All of this is part of what is meant by hidayah in this verse when we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Not just show us what is the way, but give us within ourselves also that special tawfiq, that special blessing from you of having the guidance in our hearts, so that we will follow that path. There's a big difference between knowing and seeing what the path is, and having that will to follow that path. So as I said, all of these translations, whether it is show us the path or guide us to the path, they are only actually covering a small part of what the verse means. And if someone, for example, if someone just relies on those translations and that's what's in his heart when he makes this dua, he's not making the complete dua of what he should be asking for. And this shows us once again that we should not rely on, because this is of course the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this is the basis of our deen. And we should not rely on, for example, just a simple translation of some of the meanings of the Quran. First of all, no other language is going to be able to convey what the Quran actually says. There's always going to be failures, there's always going to be shortcomings, and there might also be mistakes. But even beyond that, we have to go to study what the words actually mean. Turn to the books of tafsir, turn to the guidance of the scholars to understand really what the Quran is saying. If we are good in the Arabic language, for example, if you're good in the Arabic language, you'll know that ihdina here, you have good experience with the Quran, you'll understand that there's different kinds of huda, there's different kinds of hidayah, different kinds of guidance. And you can understand from that that both of them are being applied here. But otherwise, and we should not be complacent with respect to our deen, but we should try to study exactly what these words mean, especially as we said in this Surah Al-Fatiha, something that we say so often. And as I've mentioned before, at least all the languages I'm familiar with, I think Bahasa Malay also, I'm pretty sure you have plenty of information, plenty of detailed knowledge. Even in English, there's plenty of literature available that inshallah you can understand properly what these verses of the Quran are saying. Now that we have a better understanding of what we mean when we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge of the straight path, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to have the will and the intent to follow that straight path, and we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to follow that straight path. All of that is captured in اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And as we said also, it covers not just present and future, it even covers what we did in the past. Guide us with respect to the actions that we've already done and what we should do to correct them and so forth. So once the entire nature of the dua is understood and what we're really asking for is understood, then it's very clear to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to make this dua over and over again. Because we are always in need of guidance. No matter how much guidance actually that we already have, no matter how much inshallah we are along the straight path, we are always in need of guidance. Because every moment, every step we take, there's options to do something, maybe halal, maybe haram, maybe we don't know what is the ruling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in every moment we are in need of guidance. In fact, turning maybe 5 times to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repeating this dua, this is completely understandable. And in fact, if we did not have this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps we would have understood ourselves that we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. But when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course this is a dua, I will not get into too much of a discussion about dua and the nature of dua and so forth. But when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are really interested in having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to us, then we should be very much aware and attentive of what we're saying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udu Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba wa alamu anna Allah la yastajibu du'aan min qalbin ghafilin lahin." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Make dua to Allah while you are certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not respond to a dua that comes from a heart which is heedless and inattentive." Heedless and inattentive. So in other words, if you go to the salat and you just rattle these words off as words that you have been ordered to say in the salat, you don't even understand the meaning of them, or you don't reflect upon the meaning, or you don't mean what you're saying when you're saying it, then it should not be something surprising that you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say that you keep making this dua, but you are not getting hidayah. Because when you're making the dua, your heart is not attentive. You don't even realize what you're saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not respond to you whatsoever. But inshallah, if you come often enough and have to make this dua, inshallah, some of the times at least, your heart will be attentive. That's one of the blessings of having to make it 17 times a day, is that hopefully, inshallah, on some of those occasions, your heart will be attentive. You will be saying it sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. And plus, we're making it in the plural. Maybe your heart is not completely attentive, but one of your brothers in the faith, one of your sisters in the faith, who is making dua along with you, is being responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to make dua, not just on our own behalf, but we say, ihdina, guide us. And maybe through our brotherhood, maybe through our coming, for example, to the mosque and praying in jama'ah, maybe sometimes our heart is not completely attentive, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to somebody else's. And because you came to that dua, you came to that action with the right intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you also with some of that guidance in response to the person next to you or to the imam or whatever, whoever is praying in the same congregation with you. Now when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then simply expect the results without any efforts on our part. Okay, even though it is a dua, we should not just expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer our dua without any efforts on our part. And in fact, one of the signs that you are sincere in your dua, one of the signs that you really want the thing that you ask for, is that you try to follow all the steps and all the causes that you can find to bring about that dua, to bring about what you asked in that dua. In other words, if, for example, and if you are sincere about something when you ask for it, then you don't just sit and hope for something to come, but you also try to do what you can to bring it about. If we take a different kind of case, the case, for example, if someone makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a job or to pass an exam or to get some wealth or something of that nature. Now, the person who makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him, for example, get a job and earn money and so forth, he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Razaq, right? He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for him. Yet if he really wants that job, or if he really wants that wealth, you can be certain that as soon as he makes that dua, he will then go do all the steps that he knows to fulfill that dua. Right? He'll ask Allah to give him such and such a job, and then he will immediately, if there's some exam before the job, he'll do his best to study for the exam, pass the exam in the best possible way, contact whoever's in charge of the job, get the best letters of recommendation, whatever the case might be. He'll do all the steps that he can, even though he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if he believes firmly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a razaq, Because he is so desirous of having that thing that he made dua for, he'll do anything that he can, that he knows is within his ability to fulfill that dua. So what about when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance? Same thing, by the way, with respect to forgiveness. There are causes that are seen in the hadith and so forth that will inshallah lead to Allah's forgiveness. And there are causes that will lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. So as a sign that we are sincere about this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer it, then we should be seeking those causes and those things that will help us get that goal that we desire. Actually, there's some lines of poetry, as I said, that is actually related to forgiveness, but it is also completely relevant to what we're talking about here when we make dua for guidance. The line saying, I know it's very rare to hear me recite poetry, but here goes. تقول مع الإسيان ربي غافر صدقت ولكن غافر بالمشيئة وربك رزاق كما هو غافر فلما لم تصدق فيهما بالسوية تسيء به ظنا وتحسن تارة على حسب ما يقضي الهوى بالقضية. And basically it is saying that when the person commits a sin, he is saying that Allah is forgiving. My Lord is forgiving. And this is true. But he is forgiving according to his will. And your Lord is also Razak, the one who provides in the same way that he is forgiving. So how come you don't affirm the same in exactly the same way? Why don't you treat the two in the same way? But instead, in one case, you don't have good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other times you do, according to your desires of what the issue should be. So in other words, like we're talking about guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we really want guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way that if we make dua for something in this dunya, when we take the steps to get that thing from this dunya, also when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, then we should know that a sign that we are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua that we made is that we will seek all of the means of guidance that we can find. And obviously one of the first aspects of guidance, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, as we said, there's two types of guidance, and both of them are implied. We want to have the knowledge, or we want to be shown the straight path, right? Like those translations say, show us the straight path. And so that level is the level of having knowledge, right? And the other level, as we said, is to get that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this tawfiq, this desire for this guidance in our hearts. So let's take the first aspect of being shown the straight path. So we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, اهدِنَا صِرَاطَ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Now we're talking about just this aspect of hidayah, so I'll use that translation. Show us the straight path. We want to know what is the straight path, what is the knowledge of the straight path. And with respect to this aspect of guidance, what is the most obvious answer to what is the straight path? Obviously, it is the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, the first level is the knowledge of the straight path. And that straight path is contained in the Qur'an and Sunnah. Now when you make that dua, suppose you make that dua and it's clear, I mean every Muslim inshallah knows that, for example, the Qur'an is a book of guidance. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this book to guide mankind. So if you are saying that, alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim and I know that the book, the Qur'an is the book of guidance, and you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, and yet you never study the Qur'an, and I don't mean just read it to get barakah or read it to get 10 rewards for each letter that you read. All of those things, of course, are true and important. But if you never turn to the Qur'an to get guidance, then what is that saying about the dua that you're making? What is that saying about how sincere and how seriously you yourself are taking that dua that you're making. You're asking Allah, show us the straight path. And in fact, if you do open the Quran, as soon as you finish Al-Fatiha, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the book concerning which there is no doubt, guidance for those people who have taqwa. So as soon as you open the book that you claim you know is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is a book of guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, as if in answer to this dua of Surah Al-Fatiha, that first type of hidayah is captured in the Quran. And in fact, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some more description of those people, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, right? Those who believe in the unseen and so forth, and gives some description. And this is shortly after you said, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a couple of verses of describing, says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are upon guidance from their Lord. I mean, what clear thing do you need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you say, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, you turn the page, or sometimes even on the facing page, in many of the mushafs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that this is hudan al-muttaqin, describes, gives you some description of some people, and says that, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. So, if you are sincere in your dua, that means you're going to be turning to the Qur'an. Because you'll know that the Qur'an is the road, is the path that you've been asking for. And the more serious you are in this dua, the more sincere you are in this dua, the more you will turn to the Qur'an. Because otherwise it is as if you're saying, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the Qur'an right in front of you, and you don't even look at it. If you ask me how to get to Denver from here, and I get my computer out and I get a map for you and I print it out in nice colored pages and I go through all this work and I give it to you, and then you don't even look at it. And then you come to me the next day and you say, how do I get to Fort Collins? I'll say, that's okay. You just go this way, keep the mountains on your left, and you'll end up in Fort Collins. Right? So the next time you come to me and you say, I need directions and I need this, well, you didn't pay attention to what I gave you anyway, so why should I even listen to your request? Why? So when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, show us the straight path, and we never turn to the Qur'an, we never try to go to the Qur'an and get the guidance of the Qur'an, what are we saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if we're serious about this dua, one thing we have to realize is that this dua, the more serious that we are and more sincere, we can see this, one sign of this is our attachment to the Qur'an. And inshallah, the more we're attached to the Qur'an, and of course the Qur'an points to the Sunnah as the other source of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we're attached to these two and turn to these two and try to get guidance, the more we're showing our sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us more and more. So that's with respect to the first form of guidance, as we said, showing us the straight path, giving us like the directions, what is the straight path. The second aspect, of course, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the guidance into our hearts and makes us from the people of guidance, makes us devoted to guidance, following the guidance, having the will and the intention and the love for that guidance. And also, there are some asbab, some causes also that we should turn to and try to benefit from to also get this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say, اهدنا صراط المستقيم, and you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about guidance in many places in the Quran, who He guides, who He doesn't guide, it should have been a logical conclusion from you that if you're making this dua and really hoping for guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you turn towards the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see who does He guide and why does He guide them. Who is deserving of Allah's guidance? What are some of the steps that you can take that will make it, inshallah, more likely or even promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. If you've never thought about that, then again this might be a sign that you have not thought enough about what you're saying when you say اهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You want to know what is that path, and you want to know also what can you do that inshallah will help you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you that guidance. So I'll mention just a few points, as I always say. And one of them is repentance. First one I'll start with is repentance. Yani turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. Say, Allah sends astray whomever He wills, and He guides to him, يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ, He guides to him, whoever turns to Him. Now, repentance, of course, has a very specific meaning to it, like repentance from sins and so forth, specific sins. But it also has a much more general meaning. And here probably I mean much more general meaning or of repentance, meaning turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very close to the actual meaning of repentance. And one of the key things here is to turn away from, or to turn away from living your life in such a way that it has no purpose, or you're not fulfilling the purpose that you have already made a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. In other words, you realize your purpose, and you give up all of those things which are not consistent with that purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one aspect. But there's another aspect that I want to stress. And this is similar when we talked about tawakkul, similar kind of concept when we spoke there. If we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and hoping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, at the very least, what this means is that in our heart, at least theoretically, we are willing to follow what that guidance implies. At least theoretically, we are willing, we have the want, the desire to follow what that guidance implies. Now, in practice, as we spoke about on many occasions, iman increases. Some people have more iman than others. In practice, it might be difficult for someone to give up all the wrong things that he's doing, especially all of them at once. He may gradually grow in his iman. But the important thing is that turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with at least that understanding, that want in his heart, that desire in his heart that he wants to be among those people who are guided and follow the way of life of those people who are guided. See, for example, when we said when you put your real trust and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul ala Allah, you accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. Right? You put your trust completely in Him, and you no longer have any say in the affair. You don't say, oh, I put my trust in Allah, of course, only if X is the outcome. Similarly, when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for the guidance, especially asking for the complete guidance, all the concepts of guidance, you don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, and say, oh Allah, guide me, but don't guide me to give up alcohol. Does that make any sense? You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. It's not conditional, right? Guidance is guidance. You're either on it or you're not. So when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the very least, your intention is whatever that guidance implies, you want to have that want and that desire to do it. This is what I mean by repentance as a very important step of getting the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the sincere intent of whatever the guidance implies, whatever it implies, that's what you want. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is good, and whatever Allah loves, that's what you want, that's what you love. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is bad, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with, that's what you are displeased with, that's what you want to avoid. Even if you fall into doing it sometimes, as I said, because everyone is going to commit sins sometimes, everyone is going to commit mistakes, you still abhor it even when you do it. And you want to be away from those actions that you're doing. This is the very minimum. Because otherwise, if you're saying, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, And you're saying, guide us to the straight path, but not all the straight path, not all those things. What kind of dua is that? It's not a serious dua. Because basically you're saying, okay, leave me the way I am, and maybe if you want to improve me a little bit here and there. But otherwise, leave all of these things. So this is not a real asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. This is not a sincere and complete asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Secondly, we also have a seeking of knowledge. And knowledge, of course, is very important on both levels. We already talked about the fact that if you want to know what is the path, just see what the path is. That involves knowledge, right? That involves knowledge, right? To see that this is halal, this is haram, this is what you should do every day, this is what you shouldn't do. This is knowledge. But at the same time, there's something else about knowledge. And that is the knowledge, if it is real, if it penetrates your heart, it will have an effect on you. It'll have an effect on your actions. It'll have an effect on your behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the knowledge really penetrates your heart, and penetrating your heart is part of the guidance that we're asking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عَبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That it is the people of knowledge who have the real fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in some of the books of tafsir, you'll find some of the early scholars saying that only the ulama will enter Jannah. Because they're the only ones who have the real fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who are the ulama? They're the people who have the knowledge, and that knowledge enters their heart and they apply that knowledge. This is what is meant by ulama. Ulama is not someone who has memorized 500 books or something of that nature, but the ulama are those people who get the knowledge and then they apply it in their lives. They might not have a great deal of knowledge, but at least they have the knowledge that they need to guide their lives. So one aspect of knowledge is that aspect of knowing what is right, what is wrong. That is one part of guidance that we already referred to. But here we're talking about also making that knowledge come into our hearts and affect us. And as I've spoken here, or close to here on many occasions, knowledge is something that takes effort in general. Knowledge is something that takes effort. If you really are serious about getting knowledge, whether it is first that basic knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, and then have it further go into your heart and really affect you, this knowledge takes effort. And if you're serious when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you, you should be serious about, therefore, getting the knowledge that you need to be guided. If you look to the different hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll find that the Prophet ﷺ is always showing us that basically to get knowledge you have to follow a path. It takes some effort. You have to exert something. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِتَعَلْمُ. That knowledge is through learning. Knowledge is actually only through, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِتَعَلْمُ. Knowledge is only through learning. You have to exert. And in fact, the different hadith, as I said, when the Prophet ﷺ referred to knowledge, in most cases, he's talking about like following a path, exerting yourself. Like in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahhala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah." That the one who follows a path, seeking in its knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him a path to Jannah. So we have to be willing to use our abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to get also knowledge of the deen. It's amazing sometimes when you see, for example, how much people will exert to get some information. Sometimes very useless information. For example, if you go to the internet and you want to know something, sometimes you have to go through a lot of steps and you have to be patient if you want to get the latest cricket scores. Right? You have to go through the right websites. If that's down, you have to find another website and search here and there. You want to get the best price on the car that you're, you know, how much is this car worth? Is anyone else selling it cheaper? You have to go through all these steps. And people are willing to take this effort to get that kind of knowledge. And they're very clever when it comes to getting that kind of knowledge. They know now how to use the internet. They know how to email someone to get other websites and hook up and do this and that and that. And then when it comes to the Islamic question, a basic Islamic question, then all of a sudden they act like they have no tools. They have no means of getting knowledge whatsoever. The most basic question that's in the most basic book in the library, they can't even figure out, how will I get the answer to this question? And the reason for it is because they've never been willing to put in the effort to follow those same kinds of steps that you get this other kind of knowledge. Well, sometimes also there's certain steps you follow, and inshallah you'll, like you read certain books, if you turn to hopefully a reliable website and so forth, inshallah you'll get, I mean, the same, but people are willing to put steps into one and the effort into one, but many times they are not willing to put efforts into the other. A third aspect, a cause inshallah that will help you get guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is increasing one's iman, or to do what one can do to get iman and increase iman. Now remember, when we talk about guidance, we're talking about something very comprehensive, right? And we're talking about guidance for every second, for every moment, for every new situation and so forth. So obviously, when we say increasing one's iman, inshallah, everyone has some level of iman, right? But the more, inshallah, that we can increase our iman, inshallah, the more we'll be blessed with guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, and we have to believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And our belief in it must be very certain. See, some people believe in God, but they don't believe, for example, in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And so therefore, they do not benefit from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. They do not get guidance. So we have to, first of all, obviously believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. But secondly, we have to always look for ways that we can increase our iman, increase our belief. And actually, there's books written about how to increase your iman and so forth. One of the aspects, for example, is to increase your knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To increase your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this knowledge is such that if you are sincere when you turn to this knowledge, it will automatically increase your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you'll have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are aspects of iman. So, and when we try to increase our iman, also inshallah, this will be a means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase our guidance. Especially in new situations or under difficult situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may guide us because of this iman that we had. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ, that whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides his heart. So the more that we can increase our iman through many different ways, inshallah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. Obviously, dua is also one of the asbab, one of the causes in which, inshallah, which can lead to an increase of our hidayah, our guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most obvious example of that is here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to this dua. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to this dua shows us that turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking sincerely of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a very important means of getting guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you needn't stop at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon you, right? This should not be the only time that you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for guidance. If, as we said, if guidance is such a great blessing and one of the most important things on your mind, then you would take other opportunities also to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for guidance. We know, for example, in the dua of witr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his grandson, one of the first things that you ask in the dua of witr is that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include you among those people whom he has guided. And the dua of witr, for many people, it is performed at a time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most responsive to the dua. The last third of the night. Many people pray the witr, the last third of the night. So the Prophet ﷺ taught this as part of the dua of witr. And we also know that this dua of witr is said many times in the best time. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to that dua. Even submitting to the book and the sunnah is a way of increasing our guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this might seem like there's one thing and you're just basically saying, okay, follow the guidance and you'll get more guidance. Well, that's true. Follow the guidance and you'll get more guidance, inshallah. But there's also some more specific aspect to it. Like, for example, when I say submitting to the book and the sunnah, submitting to the Quran and sunnah. This starts actually with an attitude towards the Quran and sunnah. And you can juxtapose two people and you'll see that one will have much more guidance than the other because of their attitude towards this issue. How many people, for example, especially nowadays among the Muslims, they take from the Quran and Sunnah only those things that they are convinced of. Their attitude towards the Quran and Sunnah is, yes, this is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to follow, especially now even the Sunnah, obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following the Sunnah, especially following the Sunnah, they'll say, okay, this is guidance, but I'm only going to follow it if I'm convinced of it. This is obviously problematic, to say the least. This attitude, as I said, it is problematic, and most people don't come out and say it that way, right? But that is their attitude sometimes to the Quran and Sunnah. Or for example, in this modern civilization, they might think that this is a civilized civilization, so therefore there's some things in this civilization that maybe goes against the Quran and Sunnah, and maybe it's time that we think about what is the Quran Sunnah and how do we apply it and what do we apply now and so forth. So they have this kind of attitude towards the Quran Sunnah. As opposed to another person who turns the Quran Sunnah and knows that this is the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submits to it, whether he knows exactly the hikmah behind it, and whether he knows exactly the reasoning, what is all of the reasoning for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered this and ordered that. The difference between these two people are going to be great, especially with respect to the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, in more than one place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tied the getting of guidance and to be rightly guided to, in particular, the absolute obedience and following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, of course, is the biggest fitna. A lot of people say, okay, we accept the Quran, but the Sunnah was just for that time, or it's not preserved, or whatever. All sorts of arguments from the shaitan and the followers of shaitan to put doubts in people's mind. But the Quran makes it clear that it is, if you have the right attitude towards the Prophet ﷺ and you follow him and you submit to him, this will be a means for you to get guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to believe in Allah and His Messenger, the unlettered Prophet who believes in Allah and His Word, and follow Him so that you may be guided. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ So follow Him that you may, so that you may be guided. And that's Surah Al-A'raf, verse 158. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, verse 54, tells us, قُلْ أَتِيَ اللَّهُ وَأَتِيَ الرَّسُولِ فَإِنْ تُوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُوا تَحْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ And subhanAllah, sometimes when you read these verses, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the people directly today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And if you turn away, then upon him is what he has bore, and upon you is what you bear. And if you obey him, فَإِن تُطِعُهُ تهتدوا, you will be guided. If you obey him, you will be guided. وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين. And the only responsibility upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the clear conveying of the truth. And this goes back to what we spoke about, the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has conveyed the truth. And that's his job. He cannot put guidance into our hearts. It's only his job to convey the truth. And he conveyed the truth. And once he has conveyed the truth, now there's no excuse for you whatsoever. He has conveyed the truth, you have two options. Either follow him or refuse to follow him. If you follow him, you are guided. If you refuse to follow him, then you are rejecting the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do you expect to be from those people who are getting, who are blessed with this special guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while you are refusing to follow one of the clearest things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran? Follow him, you will be guided. So as I said, when we talk about submitting to the Quran and Sunnah, so the first thing is the attitude, that this has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so therefore I'm going to believe in it and submit to it to the best of my ability. As opposed to, this is from Allah and let me see what it says. Obviously there's some problem with that person's iman in the first place, but again, all these things are related to each other. The more guidance that you're seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be related to iman and good deeds and so forth. All these things, inshallah, will be related. Another aspect, another cause, what they call asbab al-hidayah, is what is known as al-mujahada. And we referred a little bit to one aspect of it. And that is to take the extra effort. To take the extra effort to try to get the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take the extra effort and exert yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, obviously, in a very merciful, graceful, and beneficial way. If you do that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond by giving you more guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who strive for our sake, we guide them to our paths, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the doers of good. Yani the special closeness of helping them and being with them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the doers of good. So وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, and those people who are going the extra effort, exerting themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them by special guidance or increased guidance. You know, human beings have the ability to demonstrate great efforts. When they have a goal, human beings actually have an ability to show that many times they can really exert themselves. Unfortunately for human beings, usually they exert themselves in that way and for things that are not beneficial. Like for example, if someone wants to be in the next Olympics, 4 years from now, suppose the Olympics just finished, 4 years from now, sometimes they'll be training like 12 hours a day, 12 hours a day to get into those Olympics. Final exam week, for example, especially in some universities, some parts of the world, people don't even eat or drink because they're just busy. They don't even think about eating and drinking because they're so concentrating on exerting themselves to get that goal that they have. So now we as Muslims, we know that the goal that we have is the most important goal. Now we don't have to go, alhamdulillah, as part of the Sharia, alhamdulillah, that we don't have to go to extremes. We don't have to kill ourselves, alhamdulillah, to obtain this goal. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually made the goal easy. It's in conformity with our fitrah, our nature. But that doesn't mean that at no time does it require us to exert ourselves. Obviously we have to exert ourselves. And if we really want the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to exert ourselves. And as this verse says, that if we exert ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us with guidance. And exerting ourselves can be with respect to many different ways of that we need to exert ourselves. The different kinds, for example, of jihad that the scholars have talked about. Jihad in nafs, for example. Perhaps this is maybe the most important one with respect to what we're speaking about here. Jihad in nafs has been defined by some of the ulama as having four components. I'll just mention them quickly and then move on. You can combine the four, or you can give one word for each stage. That's al-ilm, wal-amal, wal-da'wah, wal-sabr. And that you have to exert yourself to get that knowledge. We spoke about the fact that knowledge doesn't come unless you exert yourself. So you have to overcome your laziness, because many times it is laziness, right? We have to admit that. There's the book, oh, it's so far away. Okay, maybe I won't read tonight. Just too far away. So we have to overcome our laziness, we have to overcome our desires. You can either study or try to read something, or you can, you know, play soccer the night time. So, you know, that doesn't mean you never have to meet these kinds of things that we have also, but we have to exert ourselves and sometimes sacrifice those things to get the knowledge that we need. But once we get that knowledge, again, that knowledge could be a hujjah for us, a proof for us, or a proof against us. The Quran is either hujjah for you or against you. The Prophet ﷺ made that very clear to us. So once we get that knowledge, now we have to exert ourselves to make sure that we apply that knowledge. And again, when we exert ourselves, obviously we're doing all these things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another aspect of it, those two definitely are obligatory. At least with respect to some level of knowledge, you can say that those two are obligatory. But also, if we want to exert ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore be deserving of more guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should convey that knowledge to others. If we really want to exert ourselves, inshallah, be from those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, as we take that knowledge and we convey it to others, inshallah. But if you try that, you're going to face difficulties. Of course, nowadays, even if Muslims just keep it to themselves, the others aren't happy with them. Some faraway land, some little village, all the Muslims are there happy just keeping to themselves. No. They're not part of the world capitalist society, so we have to do something about that. But especially if you're going to convey the knowledge to others, then you're going to face trials, and you have to have patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all ways that we can exert ourselves. When we do that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase our guidance, inshallah. Well, of course, jihad against the shaitan. Shaitan comes to everyone with all sorts of suggestions. Either to do something which is clearly haram, or to do something which is not as good as something else maybe that someone should do. But obviously, when you get suggestions in your mind to do something which is clearly haram, you know it must be coming from a shaitan. Or at least you can assume it. Shaitan is your clear enemy. So when you realize that these whisperings and these kinds of ideas are coming from a shaitan, who is your greatest enemy, you know right away that you should fight them. You should fight them and overcome them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another kind of striving, exerting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exerting against al-dhalimeen, jihad al-dhalimeen. And those people who are doing wrong themselves, and also encouraging others to do wrong and spreading wrong ideas among the Muslims and trying to spread facade and so forth. If you exert yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to the path. Jihad against the munafiqeen and the kuffar and so forth. All of these are ways that we can exert ourselves by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. Another aspect which is we can see from the hadith is it's very beneficial, although maybe in this case there's nothing specific like in the other cases of that it will be directly leading us to more guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is associating with good people and trying to stay away from evil people. As I said, not like the others where we can find something clear from the Quran or Sunnah that this will lead to guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we see that this is a general principle from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, who you associate with can affect you. Who you associate with can affect you. Like in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the example of those people who we sit with who are pious and those people who are not pious. يعني مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء. يعني those people who are good to sit with and those who are evil. يعني the one is like the one who sells musk or perfume. Either you'll buy something from him or at the very least you'll get some kind of good smell from him. So you'll benefit from him. While the evil companion or the evil one to be with is like the blacksmith. And from the blacksmith, either your clothes will be burnt or your house will be burnt, or at the very least you'll get a bad smell from it. Your clothes will be tainted with a bad smell. So similarly, those people who we associate with, they can affect us. They can affect us with respect to this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be from the people of guidance, then you should be careful who you associate with, because these people can, if they're not good, they can bring you down. If they are good, they can, inshallah, increase your guidance. They help you to increase your guidance, inshallah, by guiding you to what is correct and so forth. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Rajulu ala dini khalili, falyandur ahadukum man yukhalil." And especially those close friends, those who are like your intimate friend, your intimate companion. It doesn't make really much sense to say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم and be hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you guidance and then you choose someone to be your best friend that you associate with, that you interact with, that you influence each other, and this person is not someone who is a person who is interested in the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that a person is on the religion of his close friend, so therefore you should be careful about who you take as your close friend. And in fact, another guidance from the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تصحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل تعامك إلا تقي. The Prophet ﷺ has given us this guidance that you should not accompany except a believer, and no one but a pious person should eat your food. So these are some of the means that the scholars, the ulama, have discussed as ways that, inshallah, will help you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you guidance. So as I said, if you make this dua, اهدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and if you make this dua in the same way that many people make dua for worldly things, it means that you're going to seek, sincerely seek and look for the things that will help you achieve this dua. And the more you seek these things and try to take advantage of these things, that's more of a sign to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are very sincere in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this guidance. So if you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sincere heart, asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and you are showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are serious about this dua, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never turn you away. And each time you turn more to Him, and each time you take advantage of these causes, asbab, the more and more guidance, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. But if you just ignore them, if you just even ignore the Qur'an and Sunnah, and even turning to the Qur'an and Sunnah, which is showing us the straight path, if you are asking, making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not even wondering what are the causes that may get you the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if you are making this dua and your heart is not even paying attention to what you're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then unfortunately, the amount of guidance that you may get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be much less than the guidance that could be possible for you. And this is the ni'mah, again, as we said, this is the greatest ni'mah that we should, virtually anything, inshallah, would be willing, we should be willing to sacrifice anything to get this bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll just end quickly then with one hadith. Before I mention the hadith, if you go to the Qur'an, it is clear that one of the main reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps guidance from some people is because they follow their ahwa, they follow their desires. So the more someone is willing to and wants to follow his desires, it is expected that they will get less and less guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Ibn Kathir says is a hasan hadith, inshallah, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about that verse in the Quran that we read last time, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to guide someone, He opens his heart to Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, how does he open his heart? How does this happen? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered that it is a light, nurun, and it penetrates his heart and makes it expansive and wide. And if you say, for example, that someone has a wide heart, in Arabic this means that he's someone who's very relaxed, very content, and pleased with his situation. So then they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there any sign that we can know that this has happened? Is there any sign that we can know that this has happened? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Al-inabatu ila dar al-khulud, and turning to the eternal abode, wa tajafi fi dar al-ghurur, and turning away for or abandoning the abode which is deception, and that everything like looks good but actually may not be source of good. And this is, of course, he's talking about this world. So turning towards the hereafter and turning away or abandoning or leaving this world, this deceptive world, وَالِاسْتِعْدَادِ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلِ لِقَالِ الْمَوْتِ, and preparing for death before meeting death. If someone is living his life in this way, inshallah, this is a sign that the hidayah, the guidance is really in his heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened his heart to Islam.